Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message. All right, I am reading from James, actually, chapter number 1. James chapter 1, I'm reading verses 13 through 15. The Bible says here, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' Because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Sometimes we refer to our temptations as tests from God, and they're not. God does not tempt. He does test, but tests are usually not tempting us to sin to see if we pass or not. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away. And I want to draw your attention to those two words, drawn away. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Why don't we just kill the sin before it becomes full grown? That'd be a good idea. And what about sin that's already full grown? Well, we can still chop it down. Amen. I want to talk to you today just for a little bit about this subject that I'm referring to as being drawn away. Can we pray together? Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your blessings and your goodness. I'm asking that you will anoint my mind, clarity of my thoughts, sensitivity to the spirit world in this house today, touching every life, every heart, every mind. God, that you will speak to us your divine word, that when we leave this place today, we will all be a little bit more like you, a little bit further drawn away from this world and a little bit closer to you. For I desire every day to draw closer and closer to you. Everyone said amen. How about one more hand clap for Jesus? Let's praise him together. Praise God. If you are fairly new at Maranatha, I have been doing, what I refer to as preaching. What I want to talk to you today about might be more along the lines of a teaching, and I'm going to try to, as much as possible, stick to my notes today because I have some very interesting things in here that I do want to talk to us about and help us to understand. Because when the Bible talks about us being drawn away, it is obviously here being, it's talking about being drawn away from God. But you cannot be drawn away from something unless you are also being drawn to something. We are never in a vacuum. If we're walking away from anything, we're walking towards something else. And so when the Bible says that when we are tempted, we are drawn away, it means that we are being drawn to something and drawn away from God. And so what I'm trying to help us understand is the concept of being drawn away, although I'm not just talking about the opposite of what this verse brings out, because this verse brings out that we're being drawn away from God back to sin. But in this verse that we're talking about today, this person is being drawn away from God. But I want to talk to you today about being drawn away from this world. Because if we can be drawn away from God to the world, then the opposite must also be true, that we can be drawn away from this world to God. And that is my desire. We sing that old chorus, "Draw me close to thee, draw me close to you." It's where I want to be, all right? So I want to talk about being drawn away from the world and drawn to God. And I think it's safe to say this morning that we are either being led to God or we are being led to the world, because none of us are stationary in life. Every one of us tomorrow will be different than we are today. And every one of us today are different than we are tomorrow. It happens so gradually you don't notice. But I looked in the mirror the other day and I thought, wait a second, I thought I was a teenager. Don't laugh at me. She's the little teenagers down there. You were never even a teenager, I don't think. That's what they're thinking. Yes, I was. Some of you remember. We are either being drawn away from this world or we are being drawn towards God, but being drawn is like growing old. And unless you're old, you don't know what I'm talking about yet. But I'm going to explain it to you. You don't know you're getting old. You don't realize as the seconds tick by that time is passing you on. Until one day you drag yourself out of bed and you stumble into the bathroom and brush your teeth and comb your hair and look in the mirror and say, "What happened?" Or you go to jog down the street, and when you start jogging, you're back. You went, "Whoa, what is that now?" Growing old happens so slowly that we don't see it happening. Huh? We don't see it happening. Even if you teenagers sitting there laughing at me, there was a day when you were crawling around on the floor. What happened that you're this age now? When did that happen? It didn't happen one day. You don't go to this world in one day. And you also don't get to know Jesus in one day. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't know him today, but you don't know his fullness today like you will know him tomorrow. Every day with Jesus is brand new. I see things I never saw before. I look at my relationship with him today and I think, look how far I have come. I didn't know I was going that far. I didn't know it was happening, but here I am. I can trust him for anything. And it wasn't always like that. In fact, I'll just throw this out for free. The Lord has been very merciful to me. And the way he's been merciful to me is he didn't answer all of my prayers. And I thank God in hindsight that he did not answer all of my prayers, because some of the things I was praying for, if he had answered them, I would have served that instead of him. Just saying. Things happen so slowly. In fact, I'm looking at my grandson, Ritzy, who's going to be 4 next month. I can't believe he's going to be 4. And it happens so slowly, you don't realize it's happening until you look back and see a picture of when he was 2. You think, wait a second, when did he go from that to this? I didn't even, it happens so gradually, so slowly. But the reason it happens is because Ritzy wakes up every day and lives another day. And your walk with God may not have all the answers in it that you want right now. And your relationship with God may not have all of the power in it that you want right now. But I promise you this, if you'll get up tomorrow and follow him again, and get up the next day and follow him again, and get up the next day and follow him again, day after day after day after day, you will not even recognize the changes taking place. But one day you will turn around and say, "Look what the Lord has done." Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 5, the apostle wrote to us and he said, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh." That means every single one of us has two parts to us, two natures to us, flesh and spirit. And I teach this in Bible study number one. If you haven't been through my home Bible study, I'll be glad to teach it to any of you. I teach a Bible study that takes you and gives you a complete understanding of the Word of God, so when you read it, you can begin to make sense out of it. And one of the first things I point out in the Bible study that I teach is that God made man flesh and spirit. He made a body out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so that body needs where it came from to sustain itself. That's why my body needs food. It needs nutrients. It needs vegetables. It needs fruits. But my spirit didn't come from the ground. My spirit came from God. And so I can feed my flesh until I'm fat and happy. But my spirit is still starving unless I feed it where it came from. We need God for that part of us. You cannot survive just taking part of half of you. But the Bible says that the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you wish. Man, there are some things I would love to do. Praise God. There are some things I would love to do. I'm trying to be careful here. There are some people that say things to me and do things to me, and I would love to do something. And I say, the spirit and the flesh are contrary right now. Do you ever have your spirit and flesh contrary? If you fail at letting the spirit rule, practice. Huh? Practice. Control your anger. Control your jealousy. Control your frustration with other people. Control your jealousy. Did I say jealousy already? Control your jealousy. Because that's the flesh. Feed the spirit. How do you control the flesh? Try making it do what it doesn't want to do. In fact, all of you, God bless every one of you that are here today, because all of you did something your flesh didn't want to do. How many of you couldn't wait in your flesh now to jump up and get dressed and get to church? Man, I can't hardly wait. I'm getting out of bed. I love getting up in the morning. Some of you might be weird. I'm not. I love jumping up. I'm ready to go. How much longer till church? Probably for most of you, the alarm went off an hour early today. Whose idea was daylight savings time? I don't mean to get off course, but come on. Can't we just leave the clock alone? Do you really care what time it's getting dark? Just leave the clock alone. Thank God for cell phones that automatically adjust, because my wife got up at the right time today and told me that she still had an hour to go. I said, oh, no, you do not, because the wall clock in the kitchen wasn't changed. Something happened to my phone, she said today, got me up an hour early. I said, no, it did not. Your phone changed automatically at night. See, technology is not her thing. I got to teach her these things. The flesh and the spirit war against each other. There is a battle going on. There's a fight taking place. And I want my spirit to win. And I'm going to tell you why I want my spirit to win. And I don't mean to be hurtful, and I don't mean to be crude, but I'm going to be honest with you. This flesh you see right here is going to die one day. I don't know when. I don't know how long. I don't know how much longer I have. I don't know what's going to take place. But I do know this. This body is going to turn back into the ground. But you see, there's somebody living inside this body that is not going to turn back into ground. That what's living inside this body is going to go back to Almighty God for my eternal placement. You see, that's why I want to feed my spiritual man, because he's the one going to live forever. And I told this at your mom's funeral just a few weeks back, Christine. I said this very thing. God has prepared for us a new body. I'm so glad I'm going to get rid of these creaky knees. I'm so glad I'm going to get rid of this gray hair. You're going to look at me in heaven and say, wow, that's how you're supposed to look. I don't mean to get sidetracked, but just in case you want to know what the Bible clearly says we're going to have a body in heaven. We will not be spirits without bodies, the Bible tells us. Well, what is my body going to look like? Well, first of all infirmities are gone. My friend, you're going to be walking up in heaven. You'd be walking. That's gone. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why your legs don't work, but they're going to work in heaven. And I'll tell you something else. This gray hair is going to be gone. The bald top, hair. The Bible tells us it's a new glorified. I'm just giving somebody encouragement today. So I see all the old people with big smiles on their face. Come on and preach it, brother. He's going to give us a new body, the Bible says. We will not be spirits without bodies, but we shall be known as we are known. That means you're going to be able to look at me and know who I am. Somehow my heavenly body is going to look something like this one. But here's what I believe now. I believe I have scripture for this also, and I believe that the body I'm going to have is my 33-year-old body. Why? Because that 33-year-old body was in its prime. 20, you're still growing. 20, you're still trying to get bigger. 20, you're still got some improvements to make. 30, 32, 33, that's right about at the peak. My experience is from about then, it's been going the wrong direction. Huh? Is it just me? No, it's not. And I believe Jesus Christ was crucified in his prime. Not when he was over the hill. Not when he wasn't there yet. In his prime. And I believe when I see Jesus, I'm going to recognize him. And I believe when you see me, you're going to recognize me in my prime. I'm not spending eternity limping through with sore knees. Huh? That's all for free. That's not in my notes. You see me not even looking at my notes when I preached all that. Let's give Jesus a hand clap, shall we? Praise God. Jesus said in John, do not love the world. And don't love the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why can't we love the world? Because what is in the world is this, the lust of the flesh. You don't believe me? Watch television and look at the commercials they put on. Everything appeals to the flesh. That's number one. Number two, the flesh lust against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. Do not love the world, and neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh is in the world. The lust of the eye is in the world. What's the lust of the eye? All of these people trying to do things to themselves to make you lust after them. My friend, even if I was in my prime, I want to look nice, but I don't want you lusting. And if you wonder why we ask our ladies that come up on this platform not to be dressing seductively, no tight clothes, no exposing flesh, it's because we don't want people coming in out of this world lusting after our women on this platform. And so we ask them to look modest when they step up here. And these people at our front door, we ask them to look modest because we want people walking in here seeing Jesus, not seeing the filth of humanity, of lusting. Can you say amen? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The pride of life. None of those are from the Father, the Bible says, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust of the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God, he abides forever. He abides forever. My friend, don't hold it against me that I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Don't hold it against me that I preach, come out of this world. Come out from among them. And be ye separate and touch not the unclean. Don't hold that against me. I want you to see a risen Savior. I want you to see the difference between him and the world around us that has only this world to look forward to. I've got something so much greater to look forward to. His name is Jesus. His place is heaven, and it lasts forever. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to wrap this up right now, all right? I've gone long enough. Let me wrap it up by saying this. In order to truly be led by the Spirit of God, you have to understand where it is that you are. Okay? If any of you received a phone call from somebody that is a friend of yours, family member, whatever, and they called you up and you answered the phone, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing good, except I'm lost. Can you help me find my way back home? I don't know. I don't know how I did this. I'm lost. I know that doesn't happen now. We got GPS on our cell phones. I understand that. Make believe your cell phone battery died. I'm lost. And they call you up. What's your first question? I can't help you find your way unless I know where you are. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Mama Frank and I happened to be up in Balsam Spa a few weeks back, and she needed to run in to get something at the store, and there happened to be a drugstore there, so I said, well, they probably have it in there, so we pulled in, and she went in. And there was this older lady, very confused, obviously suffering beginnings of dementia. She was very confused. She had driven there, and she didn't mean to end up in Balsam Spa. She had no idea where she was. She wanted to be in Latham. She ended up in Balsam Spa. Boy, there's a message in that, huh? I want to be in heaven. We end up who knows where sometimes, huh? Somebody show me how to get back to where I belong. And she was in there talking to the guy behind the counter. She was saying, listen, if you just get me to Clifton Park, I know the way home from Clifton Park. Now, if you know anything about Balsam Spa to Clifton Park, there's no direct route. And he's trying to write down where to go, and she looks at her and she says, we'll bring you to Clifton Park. So she comes out to the car. I never know when Mama comes out of the store who she's going to come with. What she's going to come with. She goes in to buy one thing, comes out with two bags. This time she came out with two bags and a woman. And she said, Rick, this lady is lost. And she doesn't know how to get home from here. She lived in East Greenbush. She said she was trying to get to Latham, and she knows how to get home if she can get to Clifton Park. And the guy in there is trying to give her directions, all these. I said, she goes, can we lead her to Clifton Park? I said, of course we can lead her to Clifton Park. So I said, you just follow me. So she followed me, and I just kept my eye on her in the rearview mirror. Aren't you glad Jesus keeps his eye on us in his rearview mirror? Hey, you still? Hey, whoa. Hey, I'm over. Then this way. Go ahead, nudge me whenever you need to, Lord. Make sure I'm still following you. And I kept my eye on her in the rearview mirror, and I watched, and I got her all the way to Route 9 in Clifton Park and pulled off to the side of the road. She pulled in. She was just in tears, just so grateful that we had done that for her. And I said, now, are you sure you know the... Because I'd have led her all the way home if that's what it took. She said, oh, no, I'm fine now. I know the way. I just was so confused. I said, that's fine. I said, here's my phone number. I gave her my phone number. I said, I want you to call me when you are home safe. And she did. She got home safe and called me up and said, I just want to thank you again. I'm home safe. I said, that's great. I said, listen to me, and I mean this. This is because this is the way I am, and this is the way I'm sure every one of you would be also. I said, I don't care when it is. I don't care what time of day or night it is. And I don't care where you are. If you ever become confused and don't know how to get home, you call that number and I will come and get you. Now, that's okay. That's okay. You don't need to clap for me. Because every single one of you would do the same thing. But who we will clap for? Who one day said to me and wants to say to you, if you ever get confused and you're ever not sure and you're not sure where you are and you're not sure which way to go and you're not sure what's right and you're not sure what's wrong and you look around you and you think, oh no, where am I and what's going on? Call my name. Cry out to me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Follow me. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus is my Savior. I was hers that day. Jesus is mine. Whenever you're confused, whenever you're doubtful, whenever you don't know the direction, dial Jesus. And he will come and rescue you. This altar is open.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York. And if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.